Okay, we'll call meeting to order. First item on the agenda, pledge of allegiance.
Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Okay. Okay, item number three is approval of the agenda for today. I have one change. I'm going to move, let me find the item here. Oh, item number nine, I'm going to move that up right after item number four. So we can get everyone out of here that wants to leave on that item. Any of the commissioners have any other changes to the agenda?
No.
Nothing?
No, sir.
Scott, anything to...
No, sir.
Mark?
Yeah.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Mark Joseph Phillips, Virginia City resident. Stewart County Board of Commissioners, Tuesday morning, September 17th, 2013, 10 a.m. Oh, item number three. This is the discussion before the approval of today's agenda. In regards to the consent agenda, Mr. Chairman, I sure would like Treasury report for August 13th, or 2013, item number six, and consent agenda item number five. Could we take those separately and have them, and of course that will be after after item number nine, right?
Okay, five.
Thank
and
you.
Six. You want to move off? Is that correct? Five and six.
Right, I got it. Treasury report and claims.
Okay. All right. Anyone else have any adjustments on the agenda? If not, take a motion.
Mr. Chairman, move for approval of the agenda as amended, moving nine forward and taking five and six. We'll talk about them later.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, next item up. Item number four, approval of the minutes for June 18th. Mark?
Yeah, commissioners, item number four, discussion before the approval of the minutes for June 18th, 2013. I just thought it was important to let the commissioners know that Dale Beach, Jana House, and I made open meeting law complaints on this meeting. And most recently, the Attorney General's office has ruled that, that Dale Beach wasn't improperly ejected, and that everything was pretty fine at that meeting. The one thing the Attorney General's office recommended that next time the chairman recesses the meeting to eject somebody, they should keep the tape rolling. That was the only thing that came out of this. But
yeah, that seems to be in question too, as we found out. That, like,
but it appears the Attorney General's office is giving the Board of Commissioners in Nevada a lot of leeway in how they run their meetings. So.
Thanks, Mark. Anything else on the minutes? Okay, motion to approve.
Mr. Chairman, move for the approval. Minutes, June 18th, 2013.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, number nine, Denny. And once all the three of you guys come up and grab a chair or a bench up here and get around here. Item number 9 is going to be on the hunting and fishing and trapping and shooting and stuff like that up in the Highlands. And see what we can come up with here and make sure we don't break the Nevada laws with whatever we're going to do on this. So, you want to have handouts, Denny?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Denny's got some handouts up here for anyone that's interested in all of this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Denny Dotson, and I'll, for the record, I'll be known that I'm Story County Wildlife Advisory Board member here. And through this summer, we've had discussion here in this chamber in regards to hunting and trapping regulations, congested area, and whatnot. And I thought it would be appropriate to reach out to Division of Wildlife here, who actually enforce these regulations that are currently in the books, maybe clear the air and explain, give feedback back to the commissioners on exactly what we're looking at when we're talking in regards to hunting, trapping, whatnot for the congested areas of Story County. So with that, I'll introduce Jake Kramer.
Yeah.
and Mike McCusker.
Yes. Could you perhaps just give us a very quick recap on what brought this item up on the in the first place way back months ago, if you can recall all of that?
Well, just from my recollection, Mr. Chairman, was just the fact that we were looking at making some policy, whether some changing some county ordinance regulations in regards to hunting and trapping, and I wanted to make sure that the public, the commissioners and everybody were fully aware of what actually the law states. And how it's regulated, how it's enforced. Some of the new regulations I believe that the legislature looked at implementing, and that's why I thought it was appropriate to reach out to the professionals in this topic to give us a little feedback.
All right. So with well, that, I could, Mike, Jake, you want to tell us a little bit about probably what's legal and what's not legal in the Highlands, I guess, to kick it off with, or however you want to do that, it's up to you.
Mike McCusker, for the record. I'm not sure exactly the nexus for this whole thing. So, I mean, what I can state from what little knowledge I do have is the state's in charge of governing hunting, fishing, trapping laws in the state of Nevada. The counties have control over public safety, okay, akin to the discharge of firearms. The county can't say you can't hunt here, but they can say you can't discharge a firearm here. The state commission, wildlife commission, governs the rules and regulations concerning trapping, hunting, and fishing. The way I understand it, that people are upset that certain things are going on in the Highlands, which I understand, but this isn't necessarily the board that could control all of that. You do have some control in the fact that you can amend your congested area boundaries and for public safety as far as discharge of firearms, but anytime you said, if you tried to pass something that said you cannot hunt in the Highlands, you couldn't necessarily do that. You could say you couldn't discharge a firearm in the Highlands. That goes to the Board of Wildlife Commissioners. I don't know what else.
Okay.
Where you want to go from here?
On trapping, can you cover any distance requirements from structures and roads that are used by the public, how far you have to be away?
Okay. By the state law, you have to be 200 feet away from a road. It has to be a road maintained by the county or recognized by the county, not a two-track road, et cetera. So, there is no distance from a house or dwelling necessarily here, because if you're on private property, you can do what you wish. In the legislature, they're currently going through this, and they just changed the Washoe County regulations concerning trapping and some in Clark County. Similar kind of argument, you'd say, that there was some outrage in Washoe County and Clark County about trapping occurring within, and that was changed and is currently in the process of being changed to limit things. But that's done at the commission level, the Wildlife Commission level, not at the county level.
Right. And I see here that that applied to over 100,000 population.
Yes, yes, sir.
Okay. If a congested area were in place in the Highlands or in a specific area in the Highlands, can you still trap in that congested area?
You could, yes.
Okay.
May I ask a question? Certainly. Yeah, I'm sure what you'll hear here shortly from several people that I recognize out there, you know, is there's a kind of a dilemma here.
Sure.
You know, the Highlands is rural. If the benchmark is they have to be county roads, most of them are not, although depending on what the definition of recognized roads are, we certainly recognize them. They're mapped in our GIS systems. They're serviced by our fire departments. It's just they're privately owned roads. But the nature of the place, if you're not familiar with it, and other places in the county, including Mark Twain, is, you know, it's rural. I'm going to call it remote, even though it's not area. It's an ideal place to take a horse ride, walk a dog behind you, do those types of things, and they're wandering into these traps. Are there ways? I know Jake and I sat and talked as a team. Are there ways we can address that from a public safety standpoint and still be within our jurisdictional authority?
That is way above my pay grade.
That's an honest answer.
I wouldn't say it's impossible. I think it could be possible if you worded it correctly. Now, I know they tried this in Washoe County and Clark County with the county commissions. That's where they went first. And it went on and on and on until they got to a point where they decided it is not our jurisdiction. It goes to the Board of Wildlife Commissioners. So I'm not going to say it's impossible. That's up to the attorneys. You know, that's what they get paid for, to figure those things out. But, you know, it's just the same as the discharge of firearms. You can say that kind of a thing, but you can't say you can't hunt here, you can't discharge a firearm here. It may be one and the same that people think, but it's not. They're two totally separate acts.
Okay, that's the way I understood that. Yeah, you're discharging a firearm in the act of hunting. That's illegal. Is that correct?
Say that again now.
If you discharge a firearm during the act of hunting, that is legal.
Not if you're in a congested area. Not they describe congested area by the county, but that's a discharge of a firearm. That's not a hunting-related thing. They're one and the same, but they're different.
Okay.
So if we have, Mike, no jurisdictional authority, and we have to go through the processes, what kind of processes can NDOW allow us to research, or citizens out there to research, to try to get better, and maybe even an explanation of what the new requirements for trapping are? How often do they have to check the traps? How are they registered? Those types of things. But specifically, what kind of avenue can someone take then if they wish to try to get the area better protected?
They can address the Board of Wildlife Commissioners. I mean, that's the avenue for this. It's been a many-year process that the organizations and the citizens have address that in those counties, and that was the course of action. Finally, after, you know, that much time to get this, they're working on the registration right now, they're working on visitation right now. That's where this spawned, is by the public, by the counties coming to the commission to express their concerns, and that's where they get it changed. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah. Now, I believe our code also goes on to say that discharge of a firearm within 1,000 feet of a residence, would that preclude hunting if you were within 1,000 feet of a residence?
Yes, it would.
With a firearm.
Okay.
With whatever you describe as you define your firearm as.
And Jake made a good point. You know, hunting with a firearm, hunting with a bow is different.
Yeah.
And that has been addressed in the past. It's kind of lost its luster in the counties and the city ordinances and stuff. there aren't any that I know that address archery equipment, but they do address firearms for the safety aspect.
So, gentlemen, do you have any questions?
I want to talk about the private property rights. Trapping on private property, congested or non-congested, is legal. Is that correct?
It is still
the state law.
Yes. And when they tried to change it within the counties, that still maintained its
Private property rights.
Yes. If you're on private property, your private property, as long as it's marked and fenced, you can still trap on your property.
Is there a distinction between the property owner trapping on their own property versus bringing in outside trapping, for example?
No, with permission from the landowner. So he could allow his buddy or a friend or anybody else to come on his private property, that there is an exemption in the law for that, yes. Even with the congested area, the half-mile boundary on private property is a different
under habit. A concept at the commission level in a congested area or a neighborhood area concerning public health, safety, and welfare, if the activity presented a threat to community welfare, animals of the community, children of the community, et cetera, is there a specific body of law that addresses that, although a private property use would be approved?
Well, good question. That's an avenue. It's pretty gray in my mind. It's a matter of perception, I think, and that's where you want to get out of in the law, is that perceived, whose perception is it dangerous? You know, you can describe, like in your congested area with discharge of weapons, that, you know, this weapon is effective out to this distance, so you can create a buffer. In this example, I you know, maybe.
I'm just curious. I know that within the county code, there are specific sections that address the board's responsibility for public safety, health, and welfare.
Right.
And how that code overlaps or umbrellas the other private property issues. I'm not aware of the law.
And neither am I exactly, because that's a county ordinance-based thing. I think if you could articulate the dangers, I think you could. But if you're on private property, fenced private property, there's an expectation of privacy and nobody on your property. You know, what you do on that property shouldn't affect the general public. It should affect your, my opinion.
I see it differently than I think what you're kind of getting at is more of an attractive nuisance.
Yes, sir.
But with trapping, the way trapping is done, it is primarily unseen. You have to almost be right there on top of it before you know it's there in the first place. So the attractive part of that nuisance really doesn't exist. And like Mike was saying, you really have to be on that property, which if it's posted and fenced, you don't have the authority to be on there or the right to be on that private property in the first place to even find it. So I would venture to say that is probably not really an argument with trapping on private property.
If Story County were to recommend to the Department of Wildlife that they prohibit hunting or trapping within a congested area, what would be the procedure to do that? Or would this take legislation to do this, or can that be done administratively through your department?
This could be done through the commission, not the legislation. That stuff's covered in NAC, I believe, currently. As you see with the trail closures for trapping in the Carson Range, the Washoe County, Clark County stuff, it's in NAC, so the commission can be approached by it, by the citizens, by the commission, however you would like to do that and express your concerns and what you want done, I believe.
Okay, thank you.
And then you just present your findings to the LCB and then they adapt that into the NAC?
Correct.
Okay. Another one, going back on Lance's question there on health, safety, and welfare, I guess if an arrow came through your kitchen window, that would be clear and present threat, so that would be something that we could handle. And also, I noticed on the DFW site, under the trapping rules, I think it's on the very first page, one of the first items, it says that the responsible trappers are encouraged to maintain a reasonable distance from residential structures, things like that. And so it seems to me that a responsible person is going to adhere to the laws anyway. So,
but that's why we set up the laws, is for the irresponsible folks, of course. Yes.
So, I would assume there might be another layer of regulation. The Highlands is a homeowners association regulated by 1 acre, 10 acre, and there's an association in place. I believe associations can adopt rules and regulations that apply to all property owners if approved by the board of the association. That could potentially prohibit different kinds of uses or the use of the property. And that would be a separate set of regulations other than state and or county. Do you believe that to be the case?
I disagree in the fact that it's set out in statute that the Department of Wildlife Board of Wildlife Commissioners is the ones responsible for the hunting, fishing, trapping aspect of laws and regulation. Ordinance-wise, I'm not educated enough to know if that is actually possible, but I think it would contradict state law if they chose to enact certain things that were already covered, you know, governed by a state agency or commission.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, or open it up to the public?
Well, it sounds to me like, open up to the public, it sounds to me like there's some areas to research in there.
Yeah.
Some unknowns. And I don't understand that state law can necessarily trump the expectations of a homeowners association within a...
It can't. A homeowners association is a group of people that get together and agree on conditions, covenants, and restrictions on their deeds in the area that they all live. So they can privately agree amongst each other that they won't do it, and then it's up to the homeowners association to enforce what they've all agreed to. What they're saying is that the state has preempted control of regulation of hunting and trapping. So we've got an ordinance right now that governs trapping.
Yep.
I'm going to probably come forward at some point in time and ask this commission to repeal that, because we don't have the authority to pass that law. So that's as simple as I can put it. The Board of Wildlife Commission can pass regulations governing hunting and trapping. They prohibited hunting and trapping in some areas in the state. I talked to somebody, and they talked to somebody on the commission, and they said they addressed the issue of doing that on private lands, and they're not going to do that. So we could propose that they do, but apparently they discussed that in the last go-round and chose not to pass any regulations governing hunting and trapping on private lands. So bottom line is that Story County cannot pass ordinances governing hunting and trapping. We can pass an ordinance about discharge of firearms, but other than that, we're preempted from passing ordinances in regards to hunting and trapping.
All right, with that, let's take some public comment on this. We won't time you on this. Anybody? No one? Come on up.
Good morning. My name is Donna Fong. I'm a resident of the Highlands. And I guess all I keep hearing is the rights that the trappers have to kill everything that they feel like killing. What about my right as a homeowner to enjoy the nature that I moved up here for? The thing that started this whole thing with the trapping was a gentleman in the Highlands who trapped 6 bobcats for nothing more magnanimous than so he could get a new Harley. Those bobcats used to come through my yard every morning, and now I never see them. I never see any. And I want to know where my rights are as a member of this state and as a homeowner here to enjoy the life that I moved up here for. It seems like all the rules and laws are in place to protect, I'm sorry, animal murderers, and that's how I see them. And I want to know where my rights are to protect the wildlife in my area so I can continue to enjoy my lifestyle. If somebody could answer me that, I would really be grateful.
Are you, we haven't excused you yet. Would you come back up, please? Are you angry this morning?
I am very angry, and I'll tell you why. I'm angry because I'm finding out all the powers that be seem to all be hunters, and I want to know how you all can make an unbiased opinion or an order or a law when you're all hunters. Don't you, I mean, doesn't anybody here get that there are people here that enjoy watching a deer walk through the yard without seeing their neighbor blow its head off and then display that head in their yard? This just happened to me. One of my neighbors did this. Killed an animal and stuck it right outside my front door so I could see its dead head. I want to know where my rights are. I hear everybody talking about the rights of these hunters to come in and annihilate anything they feel is their right to kill. Where are my rights?
Well, I think you have the right to come back and speak to us when you're not so angry.
I'm sorry, I've been speaking to you and listening to your meetings for months and I see no progress. None.
So, all right, thank you.
Don,
yes.
Excuse me, could you just spell your last name for the record?
Fong, F-O-N-G.
Well, I guess, anyone else? Come on up, Cynthia. We don't allow comments from the gallery, please.
I'm Cynthia Kennedy, and I'm a resident of the Highlands since 1987, and I just wanted to go on the record as saying that there is the Virginia Range Wildlife Protection Association, and why should we even have a Wildlife Protection Association if we have something like trapping going on? I really don't think people are against hunting as far as a bow and arrow or a rifle, as long as it's not where people are residing or someone could get hurt or injured. But the idea of having traps out there for these animals in an area that is, that a lot of energy is expended upon to preserve the wildlife seems kind of ridiculous. So that's all I have to say, and I find it, I think what's really exasperating for some of the people here from the Highlands is that we thought when this issue came up several months ago that it could be settled within our own county and that we weren't hampered by state regulations, and it's unfortunate that it's gone on this long with people wondering when this congested areas, the congested area issue is going to be resolved, and that it really couldn't be because of these state regulations.
Well, I believe that I even made the comment when we first brought this up on the agenda that we may have some issues with Department of Wildlife, and that in fact is true. And of course, we don't make decisions here based on emotions. We make decisions here based on what the law is and factual information. Whether you like it or not, if the law allows something or doesn't allow something, we simply live with it. Please go ahead.
Just a couple of thoughts for the record. Cynthia, I sympathize with the challenge, truly, and I understand. I've been involved in a number of associations. I've organized associations similar to the Highlands in other areas. I do believe one answer, if you can bring the community together, is the Highlands as an association can adopt regulations as long as everyone has agreed and we're on the same page. You could adopt regulations that would control what the land use was, hunting, trapping, and those other kinds of things. So I think there is an opportunity within your power, within your neighborhood, to get to the result that you're looking for. One of the things that I would just suggest to you that this commission has to look at are a level of regulations to look at, and one of the important ones is private property use, or protecting the rights of homeowners and property owners on how they may use the property that they pay taxes on and that they improve. So one of the struggles we would have here is how are we impacting the rights to private property owners to utilize and get the expectation of their bargain when they bought their property. So we're looking at a couple of levels issues here, not just the hunting and trapping or the wildlife protection.
Well, first, I want to thank you, Commissioner Gilman, for bringing up our CCNRs. I was this last year, in 2012, the 10 acres revised their CCNRs, and I was on that committee. And I don't think we have anything about trapping in our CCNRs. And it's unfortunate that the CCNRs can only be revised, I believe, every 10 years. And I wish there was a way, we need to find out if there's a way for both associations, the ones and the tens, if they wish to revise their CCNRs, to be able to do that outside those 10-year divisions that they have for when CCNRs are revised. So it would be great to have that help, perhaps, if Judge Maddox could help us to find out if there was a way to make revisions to our CCNRs outside those parameters. No? You throw up your hands?
Well, I don't know your regulations for the CCNRs, and that's a homeowners association's issue.
Yeah.
And the idea underlying the homeowners association is that it's free from the county. You make up your own set of rules, and you enforce your own set of rules. So.
Right.
I have never read your what regulates your homeowners association.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because it's a private organization.
But that would be a viable alternative for you to look at and do a bit of research in, because that is then within the power of your neighborhood.
Right.
It makes some sense.
And just an aside I wanted to make, I find it kind of ironic, and I know it's apples and oranges, but the fact that if you have more than three dogs, you're in violation of something and have to get a special permit for a kennel and so on and so forth. But if you wanted to put a trap in your yard, you could tie a live chicken to it, and every bobcat and coyote from miles around would come and get trapped, and that would be okay.
Well,
and it just is.
That's because the legislature has given us the authority to regulate the number of dogs someone is having. And they've chosen not to give us the authority to regulate trapping and hunting. That's done by the Board of Wildlife Commission. Is that the name of it?
Yes.
And I would imagine that that's because in times past, people either lived in a town where you didn't want someone with a pack of dogs in their little backyard, or people lived on a farm or a ranch.
Okay.
And that when they were devising these regulations, they weren't considering that in this time there would be people with these sorts of ranchettes that were bastardized, part city, part rural. And that's what we have here in the Highlands, and I think we're getting caught in a crack, because we're not the wild open spaces. As much as people in the Highlands like to think they're living, they came across in a Conestoga wagon and pitched their tent, they didn't. We're only 15 minutes from the airport, and we're not the Jarbidge Wilderness.
A couple points I want to bring up. First of all, Nevada is a Billings Law state. We don't operate under Cooley's Law. So Billings Law pretty much restricts what the counties can do. California operates more under Cooley's Law, so that's a restriction that we have to live with. Also, I want to follow up on what Lance brought up about the associations out there. It may be that the Property Owners Association needs to come up with a formal presentation or request to us on exactly what they want to do up there in regards to trapping and hunting and fishing and fowling and whatever else goes on. Because I'm seeing two sides to this. First of all, I would never abrogate the rights of trappers and hunters or anyone else fishing, whatever. I have no intention of doing that. I would hope that the other commissioners would feel the same. At the same time, we don't want to abrogate the safety, health, and welfare of the residents of the Highlands. So somewhere in the middle here, we've got to come to an agreement on what we can tolerate and what we can't tolerate. And if we can't tolerate it, then Perhaps you don't need to, you know, maybe you need to think of some other alternatives. I don't know. So, well, let's see if we have any other public comment.
I just wanted to clarify, though, after hearing these gentlemen speak, because county does not trump state, that means trapping is allowed in Virginia City, Mark Twain, and the River District, as well as the Highlands.
Correct. I believe. Public comment. Anyone else want to come up? Anyone, either pros or cons? Please state your name and your where you live.
Hi, my name is Renee Klein. I live in the Highlands, and I'm on the board of the Virginia Range Wildlife Protection Association. I wanted to just clarify one point I made a note of here, and I wanted to make sure I'm correct. The trapping is okay provided proper signs are posted and the property is fenced. Is that correct? Did I get that correct?
When you're dealing with roadways, it's specifically set out that you can set it on private property if it's behind a fence, then that you can abate that 200-foot rule, fenced and posted. If you're just on private property, that there's nothing in there that says it has to be fenced and marked to set it on private property. It's just private property is exempt. The 200 yards is the fencing and posting, or 200 feet.
Great, okay. Sorry. Well, obviously, first of all, I want to thank the commissioners for taking the time to kind of scope this out. It is a multifaceted issue, obviously, and certainly there are lots of apparently overlapping jurisdictions. It sounds, though, that for us, a logical next step would be to get with the homeowners associations and hammer out, if you will, what our preferences would be, and then take it to the Wildlife Commission. Is that correct? Is that a proper approach? Yeah.
And Gina, if I might, I hate to interrupt, but
sure.
If I understand what these two gentlemen are saying, simultaneous to that, if those homeowners associations could also make a determination on the regulating of a discharge of a firearm in a congested area, do you wish the ones and tens to be defined as a congested area? Then that would come back to this board for governance, and I'm getting nods from our endo.
Yeah. Good, that's certainly logical, right? Obviously, my personal preference would be that there would be no trapping, but on the other hand, most of the Highlands is privately owned property in 40s, 10s, and 2-acre parcels, or 1-acre. Our concerns grow with the homeowners and property owners that are on the smaller lots, of which I am one. I can pretty much view my entire lot, and I would be pretty much aware if there's a trap there or not. Our concerns for public safety grows as the properties get smaller. So that would be one approach I would use in approaching the homeowners associations. The other things I will say that the 2 years that I have lived up in the area, I have certainly noticed a significant increase in both hikers and bicyclists who come in off 341, across Lousetown, and then up through the Highlands. It's become much more of even the dirt roads. I mean, it's become much more of a publicly accessed area of property. So I think for us, concerns grow both in terms of the wildlife as well as public safety. So we will be going to the homeowners associations and putting some words together that would address this properly. Again, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Nicole.
Nicole Bard, Highlands resident. Just a question. Can the associations, or if the Highlands were a wildlife sanctuary, does that change anything? If the association were to, as part of CCNRs, talk to bobcats, cougars, bears, and lists, you can trap, but for our purposes, we are a sanctuary for horses, XYZ animals, and they are excluded from trapping. Is that something that could be looked at? Because from a wildlife association standpoint, we look at the horses on this range as protected. We take care of them. And although we haven't been declared a sanctuary, and I don't know what that carries with the law, if we were able to get that designation, does that change anything?
You probably need to get a BDR in on
that. I'm just, you know.
It's something. I have no idea how you'd get declared a sanctuary to begin with, but it would be something, I'm sure, that if you were declared a sanctuary, you could go to the Board of Wildlife, and that would probably cause them to be more favorable in prohibiting hunting and trapping in that area. So,
or declare, I mean, I know that bobcats aren't protected, I know that cougars aren't protected, I know bears aren't protected, I know there are seasons.
They are protected.
You can't trap them. Well, they're protected by the seasons is all I'm saying, but it's not like you can't ever kill them. Okay, just ask. Thank you.
Okay. Public comment, anyone else here have anything on it? Okay, nothing. Well, my opinion is probably, I know a lot of people on the Highlands message board were opposed to putting in congested areas. There are hunters, trappers, shooters, fishermen, people like to go quail hunting, so it looks like we've got a mix here. So I would, I don't know, my own personal thing would be to remand this back to the property owners. And
well, this is no action.
This is no action.
It's just no action.
Yeah.
That's
why I say it's just my own personal opinion on it, and see if we could, if the Highlands, if the property owners could come up with, in writing, however you manage your properties out there. I try to stay out of it because of the conflict of interest. And give us some written recommendations, general consensus, something like that, of exactly what you would want. So I would think that the 1 acre, the 10 acres, the 40s, I think we're going to have to just let them slide because it's such a large area. I don't think we'd ever be able to do much out there. And let us know what you want. I think right now it looks like if you can't discharge firearms within 1,000 feet of a residence, which is something we can regulate, that makes that safe. And of course, the private property laws would indicate to me that before you did any trapping out there, you'd have to have permission or own the land to do any legal trapping. Otherwise, you'd be trespassing, and the property owners could take action against you. So, anyway, that's just my personal comments on that.
And I would add, if I may, I think Mr. Klein has a great read on this. I think he's got a path that probably is the only path that may allow it to succeed.
Probably.
And if I can help you anything through any of that part of it, don't hesitate to get in touch with me.
Yeah,
the other thing I would request is, as this action moves forward, I would like to have more clarity as to what the powers are of this commission. What are our responsibilities?
Yeah.
And what are we able to do? And I'd like the community to know and understand if we have restraints and where we go. So if we're going to move forward on the action, and after the neighborhood meets and sets the path, then I can kind of look at what our responsibilities are as a commission.
We cannot control hunting and trapping, nor can we pass any ordinances in regards to that. That power is given to the Board of Wildlife Commission.
And that's where that would have to go, is that if there was something that the property owners come up with that we can't control, which is very darn little under Dillon's law. So then at that point, the Highlands people or whomever, because this is a countywide issue, not confined just to the Highlands, I mean, look at the whole county in general, then the next step would be to go to the Wildlife Commission and request that the Nevada Administrative Code be modified to adjust to your circumstances. And
Until this was recently brought up about the trapping in the Highlands, I've never known of any concern until
I haven't either.
Until Ms. Fond and others have brought this to our attention. It might alleviate some of your concerns to know that the resident in question, I understand, is moving out of the Highlands, and perhaps that there won't be a trapping issue here in the near future.
Any last-minute comments from anyone on this? All righty. Mike? Okay, Denny, thank you all.
Thanks, guys.
And, okay, let's get back to consent agenda. Item 5 under consent. Mark, come on up and tell us what's happening.
Mark Phillips, Virginia City residents. Speaking to consent item number 5, this is discussion before approval of claims. Going through the claims to be paid today, I came across with your approval today will be the checks to 9 jurors in the recent jury trial, $3,580 approximately the county's paying the jurors for the recent trial.
Okay.
And thank you very much.
And what is the point of that?
That is just the cost to the county for the jury trial so far.
Actually, that gets reimbursed to the county once it's decided who the loser is in that case. So the jury fees end up getting reimbursed, I believe, by the litigants in that case.
Yeah.
Do you need approval to pay the claims on that, Mr.
Chairman? I'll take the motion.
Move for approval of item 5 on claims.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Item number 6 under consent, Treasurer's report, Mark.
Thanks again, Mr. Chairman. Mark Joseph Phillips, Story County. Consent agenda item number 6, discussion before you approve our county treasurer's report for August 2013. Okay, commissioners, our county treasurer has submitted her treasury report for August for your approval today. And if y'all make a motion and approve this report, what happens then? Do you give it to the chairman to sign and it becomes public record? So, Mr. Chairman, you'll make sure to sign this treasurer report after today's meeting?
Because the commission meeting, I do all that stuff.
Okay. Well, here's a few concerns. From what I see in this August report, cash in the bank. Last month's report was like $2.25 million in the hole. Now it's $1 million plus. So that's $3 million that just magically showed up. Funds, 110, 120, town to Gold Hill, town of Virginia City, those funds were closed by resolution. They should no longer be on your matter of fact. There's still disbursements being made out of those funds that have been closed. Fund number 175, Fair and Rec Board, shows the beginning and ending balance is zero. That, I believe that's the fund where state money comes into the Fair and Rec Board, and I don't think that should be zero. And it's important to know, especially on today's agenda, the discussion of Sheriff's Jail Building Fund 210 shows opening balance of a negative $58,000 and ending balance about $63,000 in the hole. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Any other comments, publicly speaking? Motion.
Mr. Chairman, move for approval of item 6 on the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, consent agenda. Any more comments on the consent agenda? Motion.
Move for approval of consent agenda.
Second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Committee and staff, let's see. I'm going to start over here, Sean, so I don't forget you over there.
Good morning, Sean Griffin. I'm going to introduce Pam Abercrombie, our new development director. She's got some great news for you on the library. She started with us 3 months ago. We raised a lot of money to hire a development director, and we're really grateful she's here. And now you're going to see the results of her work. She's a little hamstrung today. She just had surgery over the weekend, so she's hobbling a bit. But if you can bear with her recuperation, she wants to talk to you, and she's excited. And this is a big moment for us. In 23 years, we've never had a development director. Myself, Eric, and others on staff have raised the funds to keep the organization going. So this is a huge organizational step for us. And specific to the library, as you know, we've been running it with volunteers and minimal funding from the county, and so this is going to be a huge step forward. And it's very exciting news, and I want everyone in the community to know it. And I'm not going to steal any more of her thunder. Welcome, Pam.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Hi, Pam.
I appreciate the moment to come up and speak to you. The Community Foundation of Western Nevada had a partnership grant. It was very competitive. We were passed through the first round, which went 65 applicants down to 25, and then we made the last 10. And what this organization does is they raise money to distribute funds to organizations. They try to connect people. Their mission is to connect people who care with causes that matter. We presented a pretty good case for the library, and we also had an evaluation component that was rather strong. The point of this grant is to bring communities together to raise the $15,000 which we asked for, and they will match us $15,000. So every dollar that we raise will be matched dollar for dollar by this organization. The point of the goals of the activities of the grant are to get a qualified staff to come in and manage our volunteers. We're up to 5 volunteers right now. We're open 4 days a week in the evenings, but we want to implement more programs. We want to implement more events. We want to promote the library, and we also want to get some funding sustainability for the library. So if we have a qualified library staff in there, we can hopefully move in that direction. So I began the donations by pledging $250. So that looks like $500 for our library because they match us dollar for dollar. So any questions, how the board can help?
Do you have to
Do you have to receive the $15,000 before they give you any money, or will they?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We have a deadline of December 31st. Part of it is getting our board involved, and we're going to do an event at the core to try to raise up our donor base. The organization Community Foundation wants us to try to motivate our existing donors as well as generate new donors. So they've given us till the end of the year to do that. If we can get more donors and then get donations from our existing donors. And then beginning of January 1st, 2014, then we'll move forward with activities of the grant, and they will give us till the September to get our activities rolling out. So our library is doing pretty good. We have an average foot traffic of 0 to 6 a night. We've got two really, really dynamic volunteers. One knows Access and Excel, and she's really expanding our database. We want to expand it to be able to offer more than just children's books. We want to offer adult books. We have the Overdrive, which is the e-books, and then we also have CLAN, which is interlibrary loan. So we're trying to get the library sustained on its own feet.
Where's my lunch money?
Your lunch money.
Yes, go ahead.
I'll personally donate $1,000 to start.
Excellent. Thank you, Chairman.
And I'll donate $100, and I don't even live up here.
Oh. Cool. So how do you want me to go about that? Do you want to send it in with that? Or
I'll have to bring a check in.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. I appreciate $1,100 and your lunch money.
I'll give you some more, but I got to keep a little bit.
Yeah.
Pam, can you explain how easy ebooks is? I think that's
have you tried it?
Not yet. I have
not
my
yet.
Card. I just haven't.
Okay. There, we do have the sheet that I sent you. Right now, one of the volunteers is trial and erroring it with her Kindle book. If you have your own e-reader, it's a lot easier. You would log on to the Carson City website. We have other libraries that are sponsoring us right now, library organizations sponsoring us for these kind of systems. So you log on, and then you just follow the clicks. I can have more information for you because she's given it a trial run. If you have your own e-reader and an Amazon account, that makes it the easiest. So if you have both of those, then you're probably sliding into home plate.
And a Story County Library card, as I recall.
Pardon me?
And a Story County.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We currently have 38 cardholders. So
any information you can get me electronically, we can have our KPR post up on our social media sites and get the word out.
Oh, excellent. I do have the flyer I gave you and then also a smaller donation card that I'm going to do a mail out. So. I was just saying, are there any other questions?
So this is a really big moment for the community. We've got 4 months, essentially 3.5 months, to raise the $15,000 match, and I want to publicize it as widely as we can, and that'll give us 30 grand, and we can get a human there at the desk, someone to really organize this and keep it and raise it up to the next level, not just maintain it, but really bring it online. We're also meeting, with the communities in both Lockwood and Mark Twain to expand services there. And I'm thrilled that the online services are going. But it's mostly because of a great group of volunteers who put a lot of effort into this. And back to the issue of Kindles, we are buying Kindles with the minimal money we have so that there will be Kindles available for people who don't have e-readers at home. And if they don't have internet access at home, you can do all of this where the library is located upstairs. And then finally, we are in the formal fundraising process for phase two of the center, and we are going to locate the rest of the collection in the second phase of the center. It won't require any architectural design changes. It will simply enable us to have more space physically to put the books. As you recall, 12,000 volumes weighs, about 6 cars, 7 cars worth of weight, and you can't put those on a floor that's not properly structured to do so. So we need the physical space to put them in that has the proper flooring. So we'll incorporate it into what we're doing, and it'll become a multi-use facility. Any questions? And I really want to acknowledge her hard work. This was a tough grant, 10 out of 67, and I can tell you there was some heavy hitters who put their applications in for this funding.
Well, I personally want to thank you for all the work you do, because I know this has been a monumental task. And
in addition to all the rest of the programs that you do for the community, so, for the county.
Yeah, I'm amazed. I think you've done a great job on this. I think you're a lot further along than I would have anticipated, so. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's see. Oh, there it is. Hey, I was first. Sheriff. Nothing. Wow. Great. Let's see. Fire department. What do we got? Mr. Barry.
You can have his arm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I apologize for not being at the last couple of meetings. Back to the living and moving forward. We're finished up some field projects between the trailer park and Rainbow Bend just actually yesterday. You may remember several years ago we had a structure fire that extended into some wild land. Now that we have control of our own county-funded seasonal positions, they've been down there diligently working to clean that up. I think the residents are at ease with that and very happy with that progress. We also finished up some other projects down in Lockwood as far as fuels. We cleaned up some fence lines around the Hillside Elementary School. That continues. Our chipper just arrived about a week and a half ago, and it's kind of not funny, but it is a little funny to watch the chipping crews out there with the seasonals. They'll chip for 8 hours straight, and all of a sudden you'll get four truckloads of residents from the Highlands dropping fuels off there, and the pile just doubles and triples. And they're making haste out of it, but it's not going as quickly as they thought it would. So, good program. That's moving forward. The smoke is out of the air, but I still want to remind people in the audience, be diligent. It's still high fire behavior out there. We're not through the summer fire season yet. As everybody knows, we had the Washoe fires and some other fires last year and year before. It really is turning into more of a fire year, not a fire season. So just because the smoke's out of the air, don't let your guards down. Just a quick note, homecoming for the high school will be October 10th with a parade at noon. And there will be a bonfire at the Ice House on the 11th in the evening. So if you see smoke and fire up there, hopefully that's what it is. If it's any time other than that evening, please call 911 as always. And just to touch base, I know we talk about this frequently, but our public works maintenance shop up there is doing an amazing job for us. I don't know what happened. It seems like as soon as Steve retired, everything in our fleet started breaking. I mean, we've had ambulances and turbos and ERGs, and it just has been endless. And I know I've been reporting at Tuesday morning meetings prior to this meeting about having 5, 6, 7 vehicles up there, and Mike gives me grief about it because it looks like a substation. But I'm happy to report they're down to one vehicle in that entire fleet maintenance yard right now, and they're doing a phenomenal job. So I just want to publicly thank them. And we're still actively doing the smoke detector program in Mark Twain. That was funded through a federal grant that we were very happy to get. It took us 3 years of applying and finally received that. That's been in the newspapers. That's on the website. So if anybody has any questions, please contact us. We have roughly 1,500 smoke detectors that are grant-funded that need to go in that community. Once we're done with that community, we'll expand that out to the rest of the county. But we've got to meet our commitments in that community first. So that's it, if you don't have any questions. Thanks.
Mary Scott.
I would like to, on behalf of my husband, I'm Marilyn Miller, I would like to thank the fire department for sending four really nice young men to Louise Perry Park, and they took about a 4 or 5 foot swash on the other side of the fence, cleaned up all the sagebrush, it's gone. They moved inside the fence and took all of the sagebrush from the south side. My husband and I had cleaned up the west side ourselves. We were entirely grateful that we didn't have to spend another 10, 12 hours moving sagebrush. It looks marvelous. I brought pictures today, and Mike has the pictures of what it looks like now that all of that's been cleaned up and a few other things that we've done up there. And I want to thank the fire department for their hard work.
Anything else from the river while you're fanning up there?
I have some things for
Pat.
For Pat. You want to do that now?
staff, this would be a good time since you're...
Okay. I have a list here, Pat, of all of our belongings at the community center. I think it's 34. I did not list the cupboards. They're part of the building, or the curtains, but everything else I have listed here for you so that you know what we have in that building that does belong to the county.
Okay.
Okay?
If you want to just get that to Austin, we'll...
Okay, I'll get it to Austin. That'd be great. And I just want to make a comment on behalf of my husband. He has worked very hard up there. The pictures that I gave Mike really show a big difference. And it's looking great up there, and we've had a request. I've run this by the Sheriff's Department and Mike over here. We've had a request that we have a campout for some of the kids in the grade school that want to do this. We have three adult men that have already volunteered to be there all night, and if there's any little girls involved, I'm going to be there. It'll be the 28th of September. We will have the coverage from the necessary patrols at all times, and the adults will not leave the situation. We have a permanent light that's on all night long in the gazebo. We have lights up by the washrooms. We have decent washrooms. We'll furnish the water. They have to bring their own little tents and their own little sleeping bags, and I do believe we're going to be serving hot dogs or something like that to the kids that are there. Something brand new, some good use to the park. We've also had two or three bocce ball tournaments in the park with the adults. We're going to have another big picnic for the kids being organized by the gentleman that does the archery for the school. So it's really getting a lot of attention. And it is locked at night as soon as dusk gets there because we don't want anything to happen to what we've got now. It's open first thing in the morning between 6 and 7. So that it's always open for the school kids when they need to come in early. They can get in the park and wait till the school grounds are open. I believe that's all I have to report.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I thank everybody for being so patient and getting this organized the way it was. It really is coming out nice, and we're really enjoying it. So thank you, guys.
All righty. Jen? Denny, you got any additional? Don't forget to change your hat.
I got a report back on the camel races. I just wanted to let everybody here know that didn't make our VCTC meeting, which was held at the Gold Hill Depot. Probably the first meeting we've had in there for many, many years. It was very, very nice. I'll talk about that in just a second. But we talked about camels. A great big thank you. We could not do it alone. It is a huge team effort. The whole town has to get involved. Everything from fire, sheriff, public works, sponsors, you name it. We all came together, merchants. It was one of our best events I think we've had all year. So I have nothing but positive comments. I look forward to doing doing that one again, actually, even though I'm kind of tired of camels right now. Meeting this week on street vibrations, again, starts next weekend. We'll be putting up vendors in the street probably on Thursday afternoon after local deliveries. They'll be up through Sunday. Happy to report that we've got several local merchants, much more, it looks like, so far than we've had in the past. So it looks like the local folks are adding staff and preparing for the event, which is great. And then, again, the Gold Hill Depot. We've got all the power, the water, the phone lines, the fire alarm systems, a few maintenance items. And we had some water issues that Mike helped us out with, but we're good to go. They cleared out some space in there, and we had our meeting for the VCTC. And folks got a chance to look inside, take a look at the building. The potential there for quite a few great things, I believe, in the way of convention space, meeting space, potentially weddings. I could see that's a big thing now with barn-type theme weddings. It's a neat building, and I look forward to working with other folks in the community to see what direction we want to go with that.
Pat and Shannon get through there and get all of their list of write-ups?
They started. They've not completed it yet. Yep. But they'll prioritize it for us so we can look at some grant funding for that building as well. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Austin.
Awesome.
Chairman, Commissioners, thank you. Just a couple updates on a few things. I want to start with our planner, Desi. She's really been hitting the ground running, starting with us. And so she's working on a whole plethora of ordinances and updates that we've needed probably for the last 20 years. One of them deals with just the process we use for lot consolidations. As we had discussed in the Planning Commission, we're revisiting the tattoo and piercing organizations on how we want to do that, and we're certainly looking at fielding the community through the Tourism Commission and other venues before we even look at exactly what we would do to regulate it. The Planning Commission has already heard that, and they've given that direction. We're working on the process for dedicating water for large parcels. Currently, we don't. They're only done for regular parcel maps. And then also looking at our existing code with regard to medical marijuana and tightening that nut down where it might be needed in compliance with law. One of the items coming up here, and I want to let the community know as well, is we're going to take a very soft approach on this and work on it from the bottom up, but as the signs on C Street and elsewhere. It's some places gotten a little bit out of hand with the illegal signs and mannequins and things like that. And we certainly understand that, you know, the businesses are trying to bring in tourists from outside, and we're definitely cognizant of that. But we have this new sign ordinance now that really addresses a lot of the concerns the communities had for a long time with regard to allowing signage for businesses, as well as getting signs that don't belong under control. So we're going to go through, Desi and I will go through C Street, and kind of a nice approach and work with some of our stores. We realize that an education is probably a large component here. We realize a lot of our businesses will want to cooperate, they'll want to do what's right, and we're real happy to work with them. And so we'll work through the winter in getting these signs where they need to be. Next is, I just want to thank the Highlands community for showing up to our workshop for the master plan. We had a town hall out in the Highlands on last couple weeks ago, and it was really successful. What was kind of nice about it, it was less of me talking and it was more of the community talking. And we really got some good input on what the Highlands people want for Story County as a whole, as well as what they want with regard to roads, with regard to development at the north end and other parts of the county, maintaining their rural lifestyle and equestrian activities. I could go on and on. So we're going to hold a very similar workshop, and we're hoping to target October 17th for Mark Twain. I'll be communicating with the Mark Twain Community Center group and seeing if we can get a venue set up down there and have really an interactive workshop. It's not going to be me giving a presentation as much as us writing things down that the people in that area want for their community, and then we bring that up here back to the courthouse and we start working with that data to come up with, you know, draft goals and objectives for the plan. And then, as I had stated before, we're going to do these workshops all over the county, but we're thinking Mark Twain will be our next stop. And so those are the items I wanted to bring up, and thank you. I think those I've been to all of your workshops so far. I think they've been pretty darn productive. I'm pretty impressed with the turnout and the feedback that we've gotten on those. So we'll see how Mark Twain goes, but I bet we're going to get a good turnout. Because I'm going to go to the meeting tomorrow night. Are you going to go down to the? Yeah. Okay. We can get the word out down there a little bit.
Great. And then Desi also, she'll almost steal all of her thunder, but she feels if you feed them, they'll come. So they'll probably start seeing food at some of these workshops. And I believe she might want to make cookies or something. So I want
really zucchini.
and zucchini, yes.
Yeah. Desi, come on, help us.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Commissioners. One thing I'm really excited to announce is we have a put-together community survey to help inform and write and update the master plan. So if you can find it on our homepage website and on Facebook and Twitter. So if you want to log on, anyone who wants to participate, I want to encourage everyone to do that. Also, Denny and I opened up the box of nuisance files. So went through those and getting my feet wet on some of that. So update with that. And then Austin, Bob, and I have been working on some ordinances as a team and moving forward with some things.
Good.
Thank you.
Great. Mike?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. My name is Mike Nevin, for the record. Public Works report for this meeting. The first item, I just want to make mention that we've resumed our crack sealing project for the county section, the first mile of Cartwright, although we went a little bit further than we'd originally thought the mile. We're down about 1.2, but that's fine. We've now moved on to the paved section of Lousetown Road, working from the intersection of Cartwright towards the highway, and we anticipate to finish that crack sealing project by the end of this month. Once this is done, I met last week with the representatives from Western Emulsions, and they're the agency, the vendor that the state of Nevada Department of Transportation uses for their flush sealing through an open term contract. So we have the pricing for the flush seal for those areas in the Highlands, and this flush seal will include a rejuvenator project or product, excuse me, that will assist in helping keep further deterioration at a minimum until such time as we might be able to afford to put a chip seal on those surfaces. When they're applying the flush, and we hope that'll be done probably the first part of October, because that's our window of opportunity is narrowing as we speak due to, you know, the changing conditions and especially the road surface temperature. So we're also going to flush seal the Six Mile Canyon Road as well. And I just want to make a note here, because I find it a little bit interesting, is sometimes we are perceived as not doing anything, you know, in certain areas of the county, but just on what we've done in the Highlands thus far and what the project will entail when it's fully complete out there, is we'll have spent roughly $82,000, and that includes labor, fuel, equipment, and materials. So, you know, we are spending money on fixing up roads. Last Thursday, we had a couple of water issues, one here in Virginia City in the morning, and then we had two leaks on the main line into Silver City that afternoon, and these were on a section of 4-inch steel pipe that exists basically from the end of Slippery Gulch Road. If you're familiar with the Dan Bowers property there, and then it goes down in the canyon along the hillside up to the saddle, and then it drops back to the old wooden tank site where it hooks into the 6-inch. But we had two issues there, blowouts on the side of the pipe, and we were able to clamp them, and so far they've been holding, so we don't know specifically what might have triggered that, other than the fact that, you know, that pipe is in a state of deterioration and needs to replace soon. You know, the CBDG has funded a survey for the PER for that section, as well as the entire community of Silver City. So it's just waiting to hope that construction funds appear someday. Mary Lee's here, so she'll be interested to note that we're still working with NV Energy on the streetlight project for the poles there opposite the Louise Perry Park. I did have communications back from Melissa Fritz with NV Energy, and I have submitted the formal application for the lights, so I'll keep on top of Melissa to make sure it happens, and then News for Marshall is they are making progress on streetlight repairs here in Gold Hill. I think all the Gold Hill lights are back on now, so I have
For the one by Bo's house and by the Virginia City Motel, they're still dead.
Okay.
But yeah, the rest of them I see.
But I have a contact now at Carson City for dealing with that, so I can go right to the source. You'll recall that we had quite the process of doing the income survey that was necessary for the communities of Virginia City, Gold Hill, and Silver City to find out whether or not we would qualify in the low to moderate income range. This was a difficult one, and for some reason people elect not to participate because they don't want, you know, government dealing in their affairs, and I can understand that, but we've got some news to report that's not in our favor. We will not be eligible to apply for community development block grants for these communities. We didn't make the cut. We missed it by about just under 2.5%. So, you know, kudos to Sherry and then Pat's assistant in the end for getting this finally wrapped up. It was a long and involved process. It's a tough pill to swallow, but that's what it is. we've, of course, been trying to replace the sewer treatment plant here in Virginia City. We've been working with BLM for many years. The notice of realty action, which will allow us to acquire that property down there, has been forwarded to Washington, D.C. It arrived there on August 28th. I had a conversation with Jolynn Worley, who is the deputy chief in the Office of Communications here for the Nevada State BLM, as to the status of the package. She advised me that we could expect approval in 10 weeks. They're telling us that, but they're telling a representative from Senator Reid's office by the end of September, so we have some conflicting information along those lines. We hope it's by the end of September, but I would expect probably mid-November, just the way things have gone in the past. And what that does is it just puts us in a hold pattern for the time being, because we'd anticipated, you know, hopefully being able to go to bid sometime by the end of September. So that's going to be held in abeyance until Washington, D.C. issues the final action regarding our request, and she doesn't see any problem with it. It's just the process involved. So we continue to work with a representative of Senator Reid's office, Lucas Ingolstad, and he's been pretty helpful, so we have him on board, so he's looking into where the miscommunications issue comes into play here, so I'll keep you posted as new events arise. next Monday, we staff will be meeting to discuss the possibility of applying for some additional grant funds through the Historic Preservation Cultural Affairs Program for the stabilization of the front of the courthouse, specifically the facades over the windows that are in bad shape. You can't see them really from the street unless you were up on the roof or up on a lift, but for that work, and then refinish of the front of the building. So apparently they were able to sell off some additional revenue bonds, so they apparently have some monies that are available for this sort of work on historic structures here in Nevada. So that's all I have, unless you guys have a couple of questions.
Quick question, Mike. Running parallel with the Gold Hill, Virginia city study for income, weren't we running something similar to that down in the Mark Twain community?
Yeah, and that income survey, I don't think, has started yet.
That's correct.
Yeah. But that'll be a separate.
Well, it seems to me that there's a public relation situation there where the folks need to understand that truth and reporting will lead to grant programs. And I guess that leads to my next question. Don't understand that the Mark Twain community in Lyon County just received some significant grants for upgrading all of their infrastructure?
That was
under a similar grant program?
No, that's through USDA, a similar program that we, you know, were recipients of grant and loan funds there for wastewater project on the Lyon County side to replace septic system or septic tanks down there. That was the same sort of grant we received from USDA. We don't know how this is going to, you know, affect our USDA relationship yet. But
so the study is ongoing in the Mark Twain community, hasn't been completed yet, and certainly some public relations work down there could enhance that outcome.
Mm-hmm. We tried to get out and get the word out, but just people are just reluctant to participate, and, you know, that's
maybe
their choice.
Bring our board in, you know, from down there. We have a new board.
Yeah.
And perhaps we could solicit their support in that community.
You
but
bet.
I think it'd be time well spent.
Yeah, because certainly,
yeah,
you know.
Bring that up, the meeting tomorrow night down there.
Certainly the
absolutely.
Community development block grant funding has provided significant monies for projects specifically for water and wastewater in the communities of Virginia, Gold Hill, and Silver, but, you know.
Well, I understand down in the Mark Twain community, they're cleaning up the wells, too. They're having a certain amount of contaminants that are in the well water, and everybody's on well down there, so I believe the grant even covers doing some remediation there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to see us concentrate a bit. I'll do that tomorrow night, Bill, in the meeting.
I'll be down there, too.
Yeah.
How long does this leave us out of the running by our incomes being too high?
These income surveys are generally done once every 10 years, Marshals.
You get any money out of the Highlands people for the
meeting? And they had a meeting last week, I believe last Tuesday evening, and I had given them pricing for their section not to go over 20,000, and they voted not to spend any money on that section. Then when it was all said and done, I came back with pretty much a bottom line price after I'd gotten, you know, some information back on the seal, and it came in just under 13,000. I don't know what's, you know, I don't want to get involved in their politics out there, but I guess there's some unhappy people, and, you know, I'll just leave it at that. So, I mean, we can't wait, you know, for them to make a determination.
No,
there's some misinformation out there. You know, they think that that's the county responsibility. Well, it never has been. The only responsibility that I know of that we have, and it's not even written, is just a gentleman's agreement that we'll do the snow removal on that section and provide the sand in the winter months, which we have done.
Yeah,
I mean, and we provide labor, you know, for things that they want to do and have done that in the past. You know, when they paved that 2 miles, you know, with Story County forces and equipment that laid that material, they purchased the material, and this would be nothing different, but. You know, if they don't want to participate, then, you know, I can't sit there and wait for them to
I'm of the
give me an answer.
If they don't come up with some bucks here in the next couple of days.
So. Yeah, that's why we're moving forward, you know, with what we're going to do. I mean, maybe once they see what we've done and see the end result, I have no idea.
They have known about this project since back in June, and I addressed them. And they can't even hold an election out there.
No, and I've been in contact with them often.
And
off and on, so.
So I don't know. I think it's just one of those things. And where they came up with the fact that we were responsible for the whole thing is beyond me, because that is clearly against the state law.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's not a dedicated section of the county.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, thank you.
Just a question.
Whoa.
If they...
Public comment at the end of the meeting. Nothing, Bill? Anything, Bill?
Comment.
You, Bill?
About what?
Anything.
Wake up, Bill.
That's the same answer.
Not nap time quite yet.
A couple things. I had the privilege of welcoming approximately 70 statewide emergency management folks from essentially every county in Nevada, in some cases cities, state, National Guard, this morning at Piper's. It looks like a very good group for a couple of day conference here. So started off, I think, on a good note, and hopefully they continue to bring these organizations together for the collective power. I'll defer to the commissioners on their opinions of NACO and the conference that we just did combined with the Nevada League of Cities, other than to say I think when you bring two groups together like that, your power again and your results speak for themselves. We had over 300 attendees from what Jeff Fontaine said, and I think the workshops and results were probably the best I've seen out of a conference in a long time.
Yep.
And lastly, I want to kind of package together a couple of things that I heard and encourage you all out there. We engaged for minimal price, actually, a professional public relations firm early in the year with the intent of being better and more proactive in terms of getting out information. And Mary Lee, to you in particular, if you want to use us, all you have to do is send me an email with any information you can. As long as it's of general interest either to a community in our county or the county as a whole. We can't do the political stuff, you know, or anything, but that wouldn't be appropriate. But your park picks, you know, if you'd like to show off, you know, the new improved Louise Perry Park, give me a little blurb by email, send me pictures, and I'll get them to RKPR. The camp out again, you know, we're more than welcome to put that on our Facebook, our Twitter. We actually have, I would probably tell you, three outlets that we're aggressively trying to do. We have, and maybe even four or five now that I think about it. We're very big on Facebook, and we're partnering very closely with the Virginia City Tourism Group, sharing information. The camel races, Denny, I want to say you hit a grand slam, but part of that was that social media that was out there. When he's finally able to give us, you know, some head counts and money counts, I think it's going to be probably the best event I ever saw. But a large part of that was the pre-event promotion, the tying in with Discovery Museum, all those efforts kind of coming together. But use us, send us information. I wish Mr. Klein was still here from VRPA. You know, we'd love to be able to put up information like that and get it out there to people that might find it interesting. Another way we use Facebook, we use Twitter. I'm not too specialized on Twitter yet, but I'm learning how to tweet and retweet. I think that's more like it. But the third way is we've got now what we're terming, you know, we didn't make this up, but e-blasts. We have for several years now, through Denny's efforts, been able to post up information on the website, Desi's survey, you know, for the master plan is huge. That's on our website. And it's on the front page. So if you just check storycounty.org periodically, make it a page that loads or do whatever. But we'll also gladly put you on the e-blast list. And what that is when news breaks, when county commission minutes and agendas are posted, planning commission minutes and agendas are posted, a summary of today's meeting will literally, for some of you, probably Marilee, maybe before you even get back home today. My office, again, I've said this multiple times, I'm going to stop, but my office is downstairs actually watching the proceedings, taking notes of what is being discussed, good and bad, formulating it into a package that will go to RKPR, and it should be out on the web, hopefully within a matter of hours. And the reason is again, getting that information out there to everybody so they know what's going on. So if you want to be on those e-blast lists, send me an email that just says, here's my email, I want you to tell me stuff. And we'd be glad to do that, because it doesn't cost us anything additional per unit now that we're...
I will probably put my counterpart, Dan Hall, in touch with all of that information. He stages all the stuff to be done by the children at the school through the park, so... Yeah. I will meet him on board.
Sure. And the bottom line is we're just happy to help out, get the messages out there anytime we can, as long as they're pertinent to our core operations. And that's it, Mr. Chairman.
I do have one thing. I'm not going to be here next week. I'm going to be at the VA's Association meeting in Laughlin. Bob Morris will be filling in for me. So I'm going to deputize him today, but he'll be available if some emergency arises, but I won't be here. I'm gone Friday afternoon, Friday at 5, and I won't be back until the Sunday after that, so.
Oh, okay.
I'll be in Laughlin.
All righty.
That's it, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, let's take a little recess here. I think an hour and a half is long enough to sit.
Ready to stand up.
Yes. I'm
Is this auto? Yeah, she needs to have a set of.